Affairs Talk is powered by Xfinity.
Hi again, everybody, here from PNC Studio at Hallis Hall. Welcome to Bears Talk. I'm Jeff Joniak, along with my broadcast partner, Tom Thayer, from News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM. And the one and only Big Cat Williams, who stars on 670 to The Score, among other things, around the town, making himself available. We appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Getting up early with us. So, first of all, before we get into our topics and the Bears situation right now, are you enjoying doing the radio thing? Because you're doing a heck of a job with Olin Krutz.
It's fun. It's fun. You know, having Olin and Hub there definitely makes it a little bit easier. You know, being able to communicate with some people that I actually know a little bit. So it's been an interesting experience, but it's been fun.
Are you feeling like you can let it loose? Do you feel still so close to the players of today that, you know, you have to understand some of their plight also as well as to be a critique?
I know none of the players, I mean, you know, personally, that are on the team now. I think that's a good thing for me, a little bit of separation. You know, I still know people that work in the offices and, you know, hold management positions, but as far as the players go, it allows me to be a little more critical when I have to be.
How do you watch a play? Do you start at the right tackle position and move yourself out, or do you start like in the center field?
I start in the center and work my way out.
Okay.
You know, it depends with with what's been going on with Massey lately, with him being a new tackle. You know, sometimes I tend to watch from the right tackle on in, but I usually try and start from the inside out.
You know, I like a lot of the traits that Charles Leno Jr. has at left tackle. He does a lot of things naturally well, keeps his punch inside, and there was a lot of criticism of him before the season started, but he's become one of the mainstays on the offensive line, and I think he's got a bright future, but he plays better each game.
I agree. I thought that moving him from right tackle to left tackle was a big improvement for him.
Right.
You know, you got to see some of his athletic ability. Like you said, his ability to punch, and that was the first thing that stood out to me. You know, a young guy that really didn't have a lot of experience, but had the fundamentals.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, if you could get someone to harness those fundamentals, he was going to be okay. And, you know, I think it's working out for him. I think people just have to give him a little bit of time, but I think he's done well at that spot for what he's, you know, been offered.
Yeah, when he was the right tackle, I mean, he even admits he wasn't a professional about learning how to play that position.
That's hard.
And it was a jolt to him, and I think it was the best thing that could have ever happened to him.
Yeah, it's hard for a player. I can tell you personally, going from the right side to the left side or from the left side to the right side, because depending on who your coach is, whether they want you to change your stance, whether they want you to put your left hand in the ground now because you're playing a left tackle. And if you've been playing right tackle all your life, you know, that's a big change. I mean, everything, the entire core of what you're doing is changing. And it can be a little confusing.
Yeah, your muscle memory alone
probably
lets you do things that you don't even consciously thinking about. All right, let's dig into our topics. First one is the obvious one. The Bears are 1-5. Some early struggles here in the first six games of the year. Pinpointing them are fairly simple, to be quite honest with you. They're not scoring enough points, and that's really the biggest bugaboo right now.
Right. You know, two things. The amount of penalties in the last 2 weeks, 20 penalties in 2 weeks. You cannot have them. And then the lack of scoring opportunities inside the red zone with two possessions in the third and fourth quarter this past week. So you do have some positive things going on throughout the game. You sit there for 2 hours and 45 minutes going, man, these guys got a chance. They're going to beat Jacksonville. And then, boom, because you don't score touchdowns in the red zone, all of a sudden you got the rug pulled out from underneath your feet and you're, you know, laying down looking up.
Yeah, it's been interesting to watch the last couple of weeks because it seems like they finally found an identity offensively, you know, with the play action, with the rollouts. They found some things that they like to do. I think Howard has been a big part of that, you know, being able to run the ball. He's a tough runner, you know.
You like to block for a guy like that, don't you?
You do, because he seems like the kind of guy that, you know, 36 power is called. He hits the 36 hole before he makes his next move. And as an offensive lineman, that's what you want. That's how you're able to set up your blocks. And I think it's also helped the offensive line with their pass blocking because they haven't gone so many seven-step drops and holding on to the ball. Hoyer's been able to get the ball out of his hands quick, so it's helped that offensive line a little bit.
And defensively, you know, the struggles lie in the fact that it's still a team that doesn't have a ton of continuity. You saw a lot of different packages put out there by Vic Fangio last week. They exhausted the entire defensive roster in that game at some point.
Right, but the thing that's troubling to me is the second leading sacker on this football team is Akiem Hicks with 2 sacks. You got Willie Young. So if you're devising a game plan leading up to the Bears, you're going to say, look, we got to stop Willie Young. And then we'll associate our blocking schemes the way, according to the huddle call, with the rest of the guys. Right. If they could identify, if it was Leonard Floyd, if it was somebody else that put a little bit more pressure on the quarterback, then all of a sudden the challenge begins. But you know, Willie Young right now, technically, he's got some of the best rushes I've seen in the last couple weeks. But somebody else on that front, whether it's Vic Fangio dialing up blitzes or another player identifying themselves as a pass rush threat, that's what needs to happen.
Yeah, I think that I agree with you totally. You know, Willie has popped off the screen the last couple weeks. You know, 3 sacks in one game, 2 sacks in the next game. And you need more, though. There's still too many times that you see a quarterback able to sit back there, have a lot of time to scan the field and, you know, get the ball down the field. They haven't been able to come up with that consistent pressure. Now, you know, you realize that they have a lot of guys that are hurt and, you know, that plays a lot into it. But you've, like you said, you've got to dial up, you know, whether it be blitzes, whether it be stunts across the front line. Because they're going to chip Willie Young, whether it be with a tight end, whether it be with a back. They're going to try and keep him out of there as long as they can because they know they're getting no pressure from anywhere else.
Which brings us to topic number 2. In a short week in a Thursday game against the Green Bay Packers, and oh, what to do with Aaron Rodgers, who is slumping, apparently. I still think he's a great quarterback and arguably the best in the business still, but they are really hammering him up in Green Bay. So I would guess that's the number one topic of conversation in this short day.
Right, but is he slumping because of Aaron Rodgers slumping or it's his lack of support in his personnel? Because, you know, you do have some offensive linemen that can be rushed against. They have some receivers that aren't as high profile as guys he's had in the past. There's still question marks at the tight end position, and they don't have a running back. So to me, it's not as much as what's wrong with Aaron Rodgers. There's 10 other guys. What's wrong with them?
I think it also is, you know, Aaron Rodgers just trying to do too much. Like you said, with him not having the personnel that he needs, his mindset is, okay, I can take over this game. I can do things to make us win. And I think when you push yourself from that position too much, sometimes you make the mistakes that he's making right now, whether it be footwork or, you know, finding the right receiver, throwing into coverage that you normally wouldn't throw into just because you don't have that personnel.
Did you like playing on short weeks, fellas?
I hated it. I hated it. I hated playing on short weeks. It was, you know, as I got older, it took longer to recuperate.
Well, so for you, you know, it takes like an hour to unfold your body out of the rack in the morning. So, giving your body.
But, you know, I just never really liked the short week. I was a guy that didn't like Monday night games, though, because I like the routine.
Yeah.
You know, being set into that, okay, Sunday morning, get up, you know, have breakfast, get to the field, do whatever I have to do, and let's play. You know, Monday, it takes you well into the evening, and now you're laying around, and I got to catch that extra nap during the day. And
don't
it
just eat too throws, much at training
right,
table.
Exactly. It just throws everything off. So but,
yeah, I do like Thursday night games because one thing I know, I'm not going to practice in pads until I put them on for the game on Thursday night. Then you win the game on Thursday night. You take your short trip home from Green Bay, and then you have about a 3-day period to unwind. There's some time off, and then you go through the next week's schedule, even though they play a Monday night game against the Minnesota Vikings, you squeeze in another day off there. So to me, I liked it because we had such physical practices. Right. It was almost like it got us out of those practices a little bit.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. I agree there.
All right, let's break down the Packers a little more in depth now. This will be the 11th consecutive year the Bears and Packers playing in primetime. So the NFL clearly embraces the rivalry, 193rd meeting between these two teams. We touched on Aaron Rodgers and the offense. The yardage isn't there. The points haven't been what they've been. But they're still a dominant team at home. And prior to Ezekiel Elliott running down their throat, They were the premier rush defense in the NFL right now. What are you guys seeing?
I think this is a unique game just in the emotions that are attached to it. Everybody talks and tells the next head coach that comes in here, as long as you beat Green Bay twice, everything will be okay. That's not the case, because during our era when we had the upper hand on Green Bay, it was still one of the toughest, most physical games of the season, and I still think you have that attachment to them. Whether you're playing against Reggie White and the Green Bay Packers or the Green Bay Packers of last year when they went to Lambeau Field and beat them in an emotionally filled game. I think there's a lot of that emotions and adrenaline that gets you fired up to go in there and play.
Yeah, I do too. And you're talking about a team right now in the Bears that's 1-5. They're looking for something. They're looking for a spark. And, you know, Green Bay could be that spark. You know, it's a hard challenge. I mean, you know, Green Bay's a little beat up in the secondary. Like you said, they got ran on last week, but they have a good set of defensive linemen and linebackers to play the run. It's going to be a challenge for them, but if the Bears are able to pull it off, because of who it is, it'll take them emotionally so much higher than, you know, beating Detroit or...
Right. With a lot of season left to go to practice every day.
Yeah.
You want to be practicing
for something. And they'd be just 2-0 in the division. I know it's a minimal, a small thing to look at, but 2-0 in the division would be a good thing.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, there are positives to come out of this game, but, I mean, you need everyone to rally together. You're going to need everybody to be at their, you know, at their peak, and you're going to have to find a way to get rid of, like you said earlier, some of those penalties. You know, those the penalties that set you behind the markers, that force you to try and catch up, to try and get the ball down the field. They're going to have to stop some of that stuff.
And we touched on the rivalry a little bit, and this always brings to mind when I go to Lambeau Field and you get there early, particularly at a noon start, which are rare with the Bears and Packers games. But I do remember when you played in Olin, you guys individually, not together, would walk out to Lambeau off the bus and just sit there and just look around. We'd be sitting there in the booth, and it always resonated with me, two guys that clearly cared a great deal about the history of the game and its impact on the Bears organization and being in that stadium. Am I right?
Yeah, definitely. It's a opportunity that most people don't have. You know, you get to walk out there early, you get to, you know, sit on the field before all the fans fill in. Just the quietness of the place. You know, people just walking around, sweeping and cleaning up.
It's a bit of a cathedral when you get right
down. It really is.
Yeah.
It really is. And, you know, to have the opportunity to play in a place like that and hopefully go in there and exert your will on someone else, you know, it doesn't get much better than that.
And you've lived through a lot of the changes at Lambeau Field, because when we first started going there, it was a shell of itself that it is now.
Yeah.
Now it's an altar in the middle of the city of Green Bay. Before, it was kind of a humble little stadium, but now it is.
I remember when they were working on it, and we had to go up there for one game, and they had us out there in the little trailers to get dressed.
Trailer locker room.
I was like, man. Angrier than ever, right?
You know, oh, this is how they're going to treat us? I was like, but hey, man, you know, it's things that an organization can do. You know, they put you in a trailer, you're all sitting on top of each other, and it just makes you want to get out there and hurt somebody a little bit more.
Well, even busing up there, it's the one true small thing left in sports that's unique.
It is like going to a major college game, and maybe at Penn State or some of these cities that are, you know, Nebraska, for example, that everything's surrounded by that college stadium, and that's the same type of atmosphere that Green Bay lends.
All right, so let's get down to the matchups. Let's pick one, fellas. We'll start with Big Cat here. What's the one you got? What do you got? What's the matchup we got to win?
I think that, you know, I'm going to stick with the offensive line. The offensive line has to be able to get movement. Like you said earlier, the Packers going into the Dallas game were only giving up maybe, you know, 2 yards a carry, and then they got pounded by Ezekiel Elliott and those guys. And that's a dominant offensive line in Dallas. The Bears have to come in with a scheme, and they have to be able to move the Packers off the ball. They have to be able to get to the second level, get on those linebackers, and open up some holes for Howard and Carey.
Yeah, you know, I got to go with discipline on the defensive line. One of the most versatile snap counts in all the NFL is the voice flexion of Aaron Rodgers. And he's always tempting you to, as soon as you go offside, snap the ball, and I know I got a free play. And if I get that free play, Big Cat, I'm going the distance. Yeah. And that's the one thing that scares me about Aaron Rodgers, because, you know, Willie Young gets a great jump, but Willie Young is always living on the edge of that voice flexion. So it is going to be a challenge of discipline.
Even a rookie like Jonathan Bullard.
Right.
He's the same way. He's right. Got a quick get off.
He has a quick get off, yeah. And that's it. Exactly right. Is that so? The challenge is to make sure that you have that discipline on the line of scrimmage to keep from either getting the challenge of the big play or just giving them a free 5 yards.
Me, I'm going with Aaron Rodgers against Vic Fangio, because what we've read and heard and what we've seen on tape is that the Giants and Bob McAdoo, who knows Rodgers better than anybody as his former quarterback coach, he kind of did a sugar rush. Rush 3, drop 8, and force Aaron to keep him contained in the pocket and have him maybe overthink it a little bit about where he's going with the football, and that caused that rhythm that he loves to be in to slow down a little bit. Dallas did the same thing. Rod Marinelli tinkered with that a little bit. Didn't go, you know, all out to try and sack Aaron Rodgers. Had him in a different way to go about his business. So what will Vic Fangio do with a really young secondary? And that's the thing, that Aaron Rodgers will just bait a young secondary into big-time trouble. So that's my matchup. So that's going to wrap us up for this week's Bears Talk. James Big Cat Williams, we appreciate you coming. We always enjoy the smile, number one. It's bigger than Lake Michigan.
And we feel small, too.
Yes, we do. I just don't want to make them mad, because then, you know, I could be headed to the cold tub. So that would be bad news. For Big Cat and Tom Thayer, I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks for watching.